Hello and welcome to Utecast, episode 48. This is Head of School Dan Glass with you once again, recording live here in the Sound Lab at the Brandeis School of San Francisco. Welcome back. It's nice to be here. The Sound Lab is a cozy place, and this is a good day for cozy things. It's quite rainy here in San Francisco. Lots of galoshes here at school today. So we're going to start this week, as we start every week, with a poem. What I'm going to be sharing with you contains some poetry from a friend of mine who is another one of the giants of contemporary poetry, I believe, Dana Ward. But I'm actually going to jump way back in time to an older poem by William Butler Yeats called Adam's Curse. This is one of his very well-known poems. And I was thinking about it in the context of making work visible, which has been something I have been thinking about and was thinking about last night at the kindergarten open house, which is where I shared the remarks that I'm going to share here on the Utecast today. But we were in the create space and creating tops, and I was just conscious of the kind of learning that goes on in those spaces and the way that that learning is quite visible, contrary in some ways to what's present in this poem. So here we go, Adam's Curse. We sat together at one summer's end, that beautiful, mild woman, your close friend, and you and I, and talked of poetry. I said, a line will take us hours, maybe. Yet if it does not seem a moment's thought, our stitching and unstitching has been naught. Better go down upon your marrow bones and scrub a kitchen pavement or break stones like an old pauper in all kinds of weather. For to articulate sweet sounds together is to work harder than all these and yet be thought an idler by the noisy set of bankers, schoolmasters, and clergymen the martyrs call the world. And thereupon that beautiful mild woman for whose sake there's many a one shall find out all heartache on finding that her voice is sweet and low replied, to be born a woman is to know, although they do not talk of it at school, that we must labor to be beautiful. Goes on from here. And not sure about it's sort of retrograde gender dynamics that are present in the poem, but the lines at the outset, a line will take us hours maybe, yet if it does not seem a moment's thought, our stitching and unstitching has been not. Very famous in the world of poetry, those lines as a kind of argument for the work it takes to make something seem effortless. And of course, now in the world of education, we talk about not wanting things to appear effortless, that we want to praise effort and be conscious of effort, make effort visible, which we do across the curriculum, but also in some of the new instructional spaces in particular that we have here. So last night, in greeting these kindergarten parents, prospective kindergarten parents, so folks who have a 4.5 or 5-year-old child at home and are trying to figure out where to create a community for that child for the next 9 years of their life, these formative instructional years. These are some of the words that I shared with them last night. I always start open houses by putting up a graph from the Google's, I forget the name of this sub-program in Google, but you can graph the incidence of various words in the English language books that are in their archive. And so if you graph the word parenting, there is from like 1900 to 2000, it's a total flat line. And then right around 1970, there's this spike up, and suddenly this line just grows and keeps growing. And I like to start there to remind people that this is a challenging moment in which to be a parent, that there's suddenly this entire literature and almost a kind of a science behind parenting that if you have not engaged with in depth, you are somehow doing it wrong. And it's enough to make a person anxious, all those books. And of course, as parents, we worry, you know, not just about how best to raise our kids, but also about the world that our kids will inherit, particularly so in a season such as the one we've just lived through, marred by mass shootings, white supremacy, emboldened in the public sphere, and a seemingly endless parade of supersized natural disasters. These have been events that have impacted our friends and communities, where many of us have felt called to action to offer our support, and we certainly have here at Brandeis. And in addition to giving us opportunity to consider our curriculum around service, they've also given us opportunity to pause over the role of empathy across the grades, partly through our partnership with the Institute for Social and Emotional Learning. And unfortunately, empathy really isn't something that we can take for granted in the current state of education in America. Last year, there was a big report released by the Harvard Graduate School of Education called Turning the Tide. And that report argues for rethinking the college admissions process, looking at many of the ways in which that process has negatively impacted adolescent mental health, from rising stress levels to a diminishing sense of connectedness. Among the data the researchers cite is a study of 10,000 middle and high school students. And in that study, only 1 in 5 of those kids counted caring for others as central or important in a meaningful life. Another meta-analysis cited in the reports found a steady decrease in empathy among its sample of 13,000 American college students over the period 1979 to 2009, with a sharp decrease since the year 2000. You know, I think those are numbers that we should worry about, because those are kids in cities like ours, kids going to the best high schools and colleges in the country. And these studies describe a structural limitation in their thinking, one that's being instilled in them alongside learning how to read, write, and do arithmetic. They're being taught to understand their achievements and their lives in isolation, divorced from notions of community or shared endeavor. We certainly don't know the specifics of the challenges that this century will present to our kids and to the generations that will come up, but we can sense their outlines in record-setting hurricanes and wildfires, in the widening gap between rich and poor, and in the decentralized threat of terrorism. What is certain is that these challenges will require creative thinking from our best and brightest working in concert. What is certain as well, then, is that we need our children to understand that they have a responsibility to the world and to know to their core that they are connected to each other. That sense of connection is important not just for the impact our kids will have on the world, but also for their own well-being. Dr. Lisa Miller at Columbia University has been researching the impact of spirituality on child development, and what she has found is stark. Adolescents who describe themselves as having an authentic sense of spiritual connection are 80% less likely than their peers to abuse drugs and alcohol, 70% less likely to engage in risky sexual behaviors, and 60% less likely to suffer from major depressive disorders. This year, Brandeis was one of 12 schools from around the country invited into the leadership group of the Collaborative for Spiritual Development, convened by Dr. Miller at Teachers College. As part of that project, we are creating a set of curricula and best practices related to spiritual identity and civic and ecological engagement. At Brandeis, in our work with the Collaborative and with kids, our focus is on developing a personal, authentic spiritual identity. This is visible in weekly practices like making time to pause and celebrate Shabbat in the classroom, or in daily rituals like mindfulness or morning meeting. These shared rituals are not didactic. We invite students to consider what each means to them, to share what each of them does or does not look like in their own homes, and to study how they appear in other cultures and other traditions. Enriched by that permeability, they set the cadence of our time together in school. Working toward a better world is another core part of developing an authentic Jewish spiritual identity here at Brandeis. This is visible in student-directed responses to world events, from bake sales to walkathons, and in grade-level projects such as the First Grade Changemaker Project, where students work together to effect change in the school that feels important to them. We also make time for service to the community in our annual calendar and during special events. This work culminates in our 7th grade SEDEC program, where students spend a year studying the most pressing issues in their communities and the nonprofit organizations working to address those issues, then make donations to a few using funds pooled from the gifts that they would have given each other for their bar bat mitzvahs. That's a program that many of you know was written up by Ron Lieber in the New York Times last year in an article on cultivating generosity in young people. These programs grow out of our community value of tikkun olam, which we translate broadly as service, which is more typically translated into English as repairing the world, with olam meaning world and tikkun meaning repair. I was at a bar mitzvah recently at The Kitchen, an emergent Jewish community here in San Francisco, and was surprised to see the word olamim in a prayer, since in Hebrew the im, im ending marks the plural, the equivalent in English of putting an S at the end of a noun. Does this prayer imagine worlds then in the plural? And why are these plural worlds translated in the Siddur, in the prayer book, as universe? I did some research and found that olam is a word that underwent a shift in meaning, that in biblical Hebrew it meant age, as in an age of wonder, and olamim meant eternity. In medieval Hebrew, olam came to mean world and olamim, universe. Worlds and universes, ages and eternities. My encounter with olamim took my mind to the wonderful book, The Crisis of Infinite Worlds, by Dana Ward, the poet who I mentioned at the start of the Yudcast today. In the title poem of that collection, he describes the atomization and alienation of contemporary life. Quote, a model of terrible momentum, stripped of becoming, just the mainframe and its withering severity, without any predicate of others. The crisis articulated here feels familiar to me, and echoes of the fatalism many of us sometimes feel when confronted with the scope of our world's challenges, imagining ourselves isolated against them. But the poem continues, seeking a chink in the armor of inevitability and disconnection, a space for optimism. Toward the end of it, Ward writes, quote, that same May I had gone to Detroit. I saw the most wonderful graffiti, more a prayer, written on the wall in magic marker. It read, two things, that we would grow closer and closer as time progresses, that our ships would not crash. In the happenstance of this graffiti, Ward sees the capacity for a different kind of momentum, toward connection and shared possibility. I love the asymptotic line imagined in these ships growing ever closer without crashing. This is the motion of empathy, of staying true to oneself while caring for others, and the narrative of democratic citizenship, of tuning our individual minds toward common goods. It is why we at Brandeis do the work of grounding individual spirits and teaching them to put those spirits in service of a better tomorrow. Because in them, in our children, we see infinite worlds as potential rather than crisis. And it is our prayer that they will continue to bend the arc of this moral universe, of all of our ages and possible worlds, toward justice. And with that, we welcomed a new generation of potential kindergarten parents, And with that, I will sign off. I hope you all stay dry out there, my friends. I hope you have weekends full of many closenesses. Looking forward to the week of Thanksgiving next week. Lots of good eating ahead for all of us. I don't believe we'll have a Yudcast next week, so happy turkey or tofurkey. Happy pies. Enjoy some family time. And we'll be back with you, I think with a special guest, in a couple weeks.